Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you'll find this encouraging. Thank you and God bless.
Does anybody know what Wednesday is in the church, historical church calendar? Yeah, that's right. It's Epiphany. And, we have a general sense of the word epiphany. It means that, the light comes on in a certain circumstance or something. I all of a sudden I realize it's a revelation almost. Well, in the church calendar, it's the last of the 12 days of Christmas. Of course, the first day is Christmas Day. We kind of have gotten used to celebrating Christmas more before, up until, rather than from, throughout, then until Epiphany. But it's the last day of the 12 days of Christmas. And it's when, traditionally again, it's when the three wise men came and were at the birth of Jesus, or whenever it was that they saw him. And it's the revelation of God with us, Emmanuel. That's Epiphany. God is here. He's in a baby. He's with us. And as was mentioned earlier with this time of year, it's kind of nice to be thinking about, what is it that God is speaking to me about? What have I learned from the past, and where am I going with the future? And just kind of asking him for revelation. This morning, I want to take a walk with Jesus. It's not going to be a message, per se. It's we're going to take a hike with Jesus. And how many of you have walked the crags? Quite a few. You know what the elevation gain is on the crags? Approximately? Not very much. It's about 800 feet. About 800 feet. And it takes, what, about an hour and a half? If you go slow, a couple hours. If you go fast, you can probably do it in 30, 45 minutes. Some guys run it, you know. That's the crags. How about the Manitou Incline? How many have done the Manitou Incline? Okay, do you know what's the elevation gain on that? And a lot shorter. Yeah, it's the shortcut. You can take the bar trail up the same amount of elevation, but the Manitou Incline is about 2,000 feet elevation gain. How many of you have climbed Pikes Peak from Manitou Springs? What's the elevation gain on that baby? Yep, about 7,000 feet. About 7,000 feet. That takes a little bit longer. Well, Jesus came to his disciples and he said, I want you to come walk with me. And he asked them to walk up a high mountain. And this mountain, there's historical debate over which mountain that was. Some say it was Mount Tabor. Let's see, I have the other one here. The other one is Hermon. Some thought it was Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon is about it's well over 9,000 feet. It's much higher than Pikes Peak. There's snow on the mountain almost year-round. So historically, that's not the one that it was, although they were in that area at this time, journeying through that part of the country. But the one that has become known and basically accepted to be the Mount of Transfiguration, we can put that up, is Mount Tabor. Mount Tabor is further down in Galilee, and that's it. Up on the top, it's called the Church of the Transfiguration. It's built right up there. Has anybody been there? I've never been to Israel, so I don't know. But this is the Mount of Transfiguration. And so today we're going to kind of walk up this with Jesus. So what I want you to do, Val's going to come up and she'll be playing she's up here. She'll be playing while we go on this hike. But what I want you to do is kind of sit back, kind of relax. Take a deep breath. You know, just relax. It'd probably be even helpful if you closed your eyes. You don't have to. Ty, I know that's hard for you, but you can close your eyes and just kind of allow you to enter in with this. What we're going to do is we're going to become one of the three disciples that he chose to walk with him. And we're going to take this hike with him. So I'm going to read through the passage just a verse at a time. Maybe I'll take a couple verses. And then I'm going to have a question or two following up that verse, and then we'll go on to the next one. So just relax. Think about what it would be like to be with Jesus. This happened 6 days after. Let me start here. 6 days later. And why it refers to that is because 6 days before, Peter had professed that Jesus was the Lord. That's what it's referring to. 6 days after that experience, Jesus went up to the top of a high mountain with Peter, James, and John. What does it feel like for you to be called out by Jesus out of the camp in the morning to come apart with him and walk with him up the mountain? This has happened before. It happened once when Jesus asked you and two others to go in and see Jairus' daughter raised from the dead. And it'll happen one more time when he asks the three of you to come. But on this time, what does it feel like to be leaving the camp with Jesus? As you begin the climb, are you in single file? Are you two by two? Are you in a group laughing and talking? Are you thinking about the ones left behind? Now you've been climbing for well over an hour. You're tired, kind of hot. Has anything changed in your thinking, in your attitude? Verse 2, there at the top of the mountain, something spectacular happened. Jesus' face began to glow and gleam and shine like the morning sun. His clothes gleamed too, bright white, like sunlight mirroring off a new snowfall. In a word, he was transfigured. As you see this happen, what is going on in your mind and in your heart? You're only a few feet away from him. Suddenly, there at the top of the mountain are Moses and Elijah, these icons of the faith, beloved of God, and they're talking to Jesus. How does this affect you? Do you believe what you're seeing? Is this possible? Then Peter says, "Lord, how amazing that we're here to see this, the heroes of our faith, these men through whom God spoke. Should I quickly build some shelter? Three small tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah?" Do you respond like this? How are you responding? As Peter spoke, a bright cloud enveloped all of them. And then a voice from the cloud spoke out, "This is my beloved Son. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." This voice from heaven terrified the three disciples. And they fell prostrate on the ground. When this happens, what do you do? What are you thinking? How do you respond to the words coming from the cloud? This is my son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Verse 7, but Jesus, who was by this time used to his disciples being plagued by fear, he touched them. He said, get up, don't be afraid. When Jesus touches you and speaks to you, and says, don't be afraid. What happens? What do you think? What do you do? What comes to your mind? And when the disciples got up, they saw they were alone with their Lord. Are you relieved? Things are back to normal? The four men hiked back down the mountain, and Jesus told his disciples to stay silent. Don't tell anyone what happened here, not until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. What's that all about? As you hike back down the mountain, do you want to tell someone? Do you have a question? How has your perception of Jesus changed? Is it different than when you went up? As they're walking down the mountain, they do ask Jesus a question about Elijah. And they realize that he was talking to them about John the Baptist. In verse 14, when they had come down from the mountain, and as they headed toward town, they came to a crowd. As they approached the crowd, a man rushed up to Jesus and knelt before him, asking and requesting a favor. How does it feel to be back down the mountain? So what I want to ask you to do right now as a final kind of question is, as you think about this walk with Jesus over the last 15 minutes, for them it took probably most of the day, from going up the mountain, leaving the camp, walking up the mountain, talking, laughing, getting to the top of the mountain, not knowing why you were there, experiencing what you experienced, having him speak to you, having God's voice speak to you, and then coming back down the mountain told you can't talk about it. I would like you to just take a couple of minutes now and just ask God, is there anything that he's speaking to you in your current situation that he's kind of highlighted to you from this walk with him? So let's just take a minute now. What stood out to you from the walk? And is there any way that relates to what you're experiencing today? Father, I do thank you for your word. Thank you for how we can experience you spiritually, supernaturally, your spirit bearing witness with our spirit. We don't understand it. It's beyond our mortal comprehension. But thank you. Thank you that you've called us and chosen us to know you in this way. So, Lord, I do ask now, is there something you want to speak to me, to each one of us, as it relates to Epiphany, the revelation of Jesus Christ, our Lord? Okay, did anything, I just want to give us a chance here to share, you don't, of course, have to, but is there anything that kind of God spoke to you or kind of highlighted for you again from this passage in regard to him, to himself. This is a, we call this Lectio Divina. It's a method of interacting with the scriptures that brings it more into our life in a more of an emotional, real way, if you may. Sometimes we can read a passage of scripture like the Transfiguration and, yeah, that's interesting. But when you walk through it with him, it can sometimes help us experience it and feel it in our spirit the way that can minister to us. Is there anybody that would like to just share anything that kind of popped from this time?
Well, I was struck when I read this passage in the past, I found Peter's reaction to the appearance of Moses and Elijah, that he wanted to do something. He wanted to build them a shelter, in my translation,
right.
Altar,
tabernacle, whatever.
Through this experience, it was it made me contemplate more what how I would have reacted if I was actually with Christ and we walked up a mountain and then we see him transform and then we see the appearance of these other two, that, you know, what how would I have reacted in that moment? And it was a better way to connect to that moment, I think, than just reflecting on what Peter did. It's like putting myself in that, and I don't know what I would have said.
Yeah.
Just a neat new perspective.
Mhm. Yeah. 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 There's probably, I mean, there's as many applications as there are people in this room, and that goes for people that aren't in this room. I mean, the applications here are innumerable. For me, I work in the context of a lot of other people, and so I often wonder what it's like for those left behind, or when I'm left behind, I feel that. So what it means to be selected. Now, I like your thought there about we can all walk up the mountain with Jesus anytime, and that's true. But he did have a selection process, and all of us go through that. Sometimes we're selected and sometimes we're not. And what does that feel like? What does that mean? And then another thought for me was not all of our experiences with the Lord need to be shared. And that's very, very hard. And he really builds, I think, the humility of Christ into our lives when we are able to not just always have to share everything that happens. Sometimes they're for prayer. Sometimes they're just for you and him in your relationship with him. It's really cool. Yep, exactly.
They were doing the work that, and from our perspective, I mean, they didn't know what happened. It's like, oh, Jesus had to go, well, he just went on his hike, and they went with him, and, you know, after the resurrection and stuff, it's like, whoa, Pete, you holding out on me here, you know, all this happens, like Jesus said, we couldn't say anything. So,
yeah, that's right.
You know? But, you know, there are those, to me, it's like there are those experiences doing the work, and then there are those experiences, and they're both fine. They're both good. It's not, Jesus definitely had his inner circle, but there is that experience, that intimate experience where Jesus does call you out, and neither one, it's just a time thing.
That's right.
Yeah, so.
That's right. Very good. Okay, well, thank you very much. I'm just going to pray, and then we'll be done. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for this new year. What a privilege it is to have your living word. We have it in our hands. And then you've given us the Holy Spirit that interprets that and enables us to relate to it and relate to you in a supernatural way. Thank you. Thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And would you give us a new, fresh vision of who Jesus is in our lives as we go forward this year? Lord, may we walk up that mountain with you.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you have any questions, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@mac.com.